is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Chivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Take my walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Can't complain, this is your
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today, on the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, that's 325-4316, or 325-4259, 325-4259. If you're in the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720, that's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow channel 612. That's BTC Flow channel 612. I know that there is emerging news that there were two murders in the country again today. This is if we are in the third day of the new year, and we have seen a spate of murders every day practically so far. Not good. Not good. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. Yesterday, I focused on the importance of information, that it can make a significant difference between one set of circumstances and another set of circumstances, whether it has to do with your health, your mental well-being, your relationships, your financial circumstances, or the public affairs of the country. I said information can make a great difference to us. And lo and behold, that information reality is something we could pay attention to today, right? And we will pay attention to today in a couple of things, a couple of issues that are out there, all right? When public officials speak, they have a responsibility. Now, that responsibility is to speak factually, correctly, truthfully to the public. Okay, factually, meaning you want to say to the things to people that represent what isn't the case. accurately, meaning, because you can make mistakes when you are speaking in public. So you want to try to ensure to the extent possible that what you are saying is not only factual, but accurate, because you can say something factual that's not accurate, but because you can say the Bahamas economy grew by, say, 2%, and that proves that we were growing faster than last year. But if last year the economy grew by 3%, you're not accurate. You're factual about the fact that it grew, but you're not accurate about the fact that it grew faster than last year. So you got to be accurate as well. And then you want to be truthful, right? Meaning you don't want to say things to people you know is not true. A mistake is one thing. Maybe you didn't look at the numbers right. Maybe you didn't understand or do a proper analysis, but you don't want to be untruthful, as in telling lies to the public. I will never forget that, and I've told you this before on the show, that one of the things that Hubert Alexander Ingram taught me when I was in his administration and in the course of my political career, he said, Shivago, when you say things to the public that's not true, meaning when you lie to the public, you lose all credibility in your ability to be an effective public servant. That's what he said. And it's true, because if I am lying to you, not if I made a mistake or if I had a different interpretation of an event that happened, if I said to you, listen, man, this happened and I know that to not happen, then that's something's wrong with that. So there's a great deal of responsibility that rests on public officials when they speak to the public. Nowhere does that rest more heavily than on the prime minister who heads the government, as an example, the minister of finance, who is responsible for the public finances of the country, the attorney general, who is responsible for the legal affairs of the country. So those are the ones who are mentioned in the Constitution, and they have an especial responsibility. But every minister, every public official, every senator and every legislator has a responsibility to be careful to put out there information that is factual, accurate, and truthful. Recently, the Prime Minister gave a speech at Lyford Quay. This speech was actually delivered almost 3 weeks ago. Delivered on November 25th. That more than 3 weeks ago. But you were just now, in fact, the public of the Bahamas didn't really hear about this speech until The Guardian published an article about it. Though it was given weeks ago. This speech was delivered to folks at Lyford Quay. Yes, behind the gate, Lyford Quay. Right? Not people that I do not begrudge for their wealth and their status in life. Not these people, as far as I know, they worked hard, they were successful in doing what they do, they accumulated wealth, they have chosen to live, many of them who are non-Bahamians, chosen to live here in the Bahamas. They make a contribution, speaking to that group of people. Some of them are Bahamians too, in that group, mind you, very wealthy people. Right. Something curious happened when this speech was delivered. First of all, in many ways, it wasn't well received. It was not well received. This speech was not well received. It was criticized in many ways. You wouldn't have known this because, again, it wasn't a publicized speech. Secondly, my understanding was, based on people who were there, that when asked for the speech, copies of the speech, Prime Minister said, indicated that he couldn't release it. When others were asked for the speech, or who, and the Prime Minister's for free, and the Guardian pointed this out in their article, when they asked for the copy of the speech, they were told they could not be released. Seriously? So I want you to think about that for a moment. The Prime Minister of the Bahamas, a public figure, gives a speech in the Bahamas regarding the Bahamas and finds it challenging to release the speech. Why? I want you to imagine you're the Prime Minister of the Bahamas. You give a speech. You're proud of it. Mind you, some of the content of this speech was delivered at the Government and Public Policy Institute Student's National Development Policy Lecture, but that was delivered by the Prime Minister. So you're proud of the speech. Why would you not want to deliver it? I mean, to release it, right? What in the speech could be something you don't want the public to know? I've read the speech and I'm still trying to really figure out what it, was it that because the speech wasn't well received that it was not released, or was it some things in the speech that you weren't proud of, happy about, or what? Anyways, I read the speech. I read a speech actually last week just before Christmas, and I decided I wasn't going to take it up until afterwards because I wanted to do some work. Because immediately as I read the speech, I said, this speech has content in it that reflects a lack of, one, knowledge of things, and two, proper analysis of the development, economic development of this country. This isn't just some of this is just spin. Like, this is, I'm the Prime Minister. I'm going to put a spin on Mr. Ingram's time. I'm going to put a spin on Mr. Christie's time. But some of it just represented a lack of proper work. Just knowing what the facts of things were. That's really the truth. So, you know, ministers have speech writers. They have people who draft speeches for them. And you can be sometimes as good in your speech giving as your speech writers. But a prime minister can't blame a speech writer for a speech. Give the speech, you own the speech. If people applaud the speech, nobody ever goes back and says, you see, that was the speech writer did it, and says, oh, what a great speech writer. You say, what a great speech the Prime Minister gave. And Prime Minister Davis has given some great speeches, in whether abroad or at home. He's given some very, very solid speeches, right? But nobody says, oh, that's a speech writer. A Prime Minister owns his speeches. I told you all before, I've assisted in the crafting of some things for Ingram, but I can tell you when they come back marked up with more red, this and red, that. His character, his style, his content, concepts, etc., permeates the thing, and it's done, right? But this speech, you know, I think this speech was just in some ways off. And I'll give you an example of that. I give you a couple of examples of that. So in the speech, Prime Minister Davis says, and I quote, notwithstanding, speaking of the Ingram administration and its term in office now, this is between 1992-2002. He said, notwithstanding the stated goal of having the expanded wealth in quotation mark, trickle down to the wider society, he says, it is not clear that there was, in fact, any beneficial, in quote, trickle down effect. Can I read it for you again? Notwithstanding the stated goal of having the expanded wealth trickle down to the wider society, it is not clear that there was, in fact, any beneficial, in quote, trickle-down effect. He said, but it meant that those who already significantly had capital, or those who were already able to raise capital, did very little. And then he says, the shareholder society, in quote, as envisioned by who? By Ingram, never materialized. Instead, manifested growing disparities in income. I want to tell you that this is as factually incorrect a statement as you can get. It is factually incorrect. So the thing about it is, you don't have to simply rely on my opinion about that. So if you go to Obama's National Statistical Institute's document publications, you will find a labor force study that they have done between the years 2012 and 2019. So this isn't Trivago Lang's document. It's the Bahamas National Statistical Institute's document. It was then the Department of Statistics document. It is the department's it's the May 2019 Labor Force and Household Income Survey. You can find it on the Bahamas government's website. So this is available to the government of the Bahamas to look at, because it's on its site. Okay? On page 11 of that document, there is a chart. It is chart number 4. It's called the Lorenz Curves Aggregate Household Income 1973, 1986, 1999, 2014, 2017, 2018, 2019. Folks, I don't want to bore you with details about this thing. Just suffice it to know that if you go to the chart shows some lines. And it shows a straight line. It's broken, but it's a straight line that says, if a country has equal distribution of its income between its households, then the same percentage, the percentage of the household controls, let me put it like this. If 40% of your people control 40% of your income, 80% control 80%, it means that you have an equal, perfectly equal distribution of income. Perfectly equal distribution of income. We don't have that in the Bahamas. But if you look at the lines in the years that reflect that line, that reality, the straighter the line, the more equal is the distribution of income in the country. In 1973, that line was the most curved, not straight. 1973. In 1986, it was just a little bit less. Improvements were made between 1973 and 1986. But guess when the line was straightest? Not in 2014. Not in 2017, though it was, again, progress was made in both those years. The line was straightest in 1999. Meaning, income was most equal in the Bahamas as recorded by this curve in 1999. Well, it was the Prime Minister and the administration in 1999. It was Hubert Alexander. So, there was no evidence. If you have this curve straightening out from 86, from 92 to 99, such that It was as straight as it had ever been in our in the recorded history of things. How do you not have evidence? It didn't even trickle down. This was not even a trickle down. An absolute raining down on the people of the Bahamas. But this should not even be surprising to us, folks. This shouldn't be surprising. You can look at every metric between 1992 and practically every metric, economic metric between 1992 and 1999, 2000, and you see the evidence, the very clear evidence of how people in the broad were impacted by the economic circumstances of that period. Unemployment went from 14.8% to below 7% in Grand Bahama, just around 7% in New Providence. Well, if you weren't employed, you had no capital. If you get employed and you earn income, you come into capital. And who were the people being employed? Well, the rich people were not the unemployed people. The few people the prime minister spoke of were not the unemployed people. They were people with capital and access to capital. The tens of thousands, almost 50,000 people who found employment in that period came into capital. Okay? That shouldn't have been surprising to anyone, though. And if you come into capital, if you come into income, is your social and economic circumstances not going to improve? And of course it did, because the GDP per capita of the country improved significantly over that period. Right? So you could look at Grand Bahama, and we don't have to fantasize about this. Grand Bahamas can tell you they had a glut of apartments being built in the period because people had come into money. Well, who do you think were building the apartments? They weren't the rich people building the apartments. This was not the people we like to call their names who were building the apartments. But Airbnbs, we know some of them. The prime minister also indicated that the shareholding society that was envisioned didn't come to pass. Really? When was BizX created? And who owned shares in BizX? Institutional investors representing ordinary people whose savings exist in those investments, some of them. Did not ordinary Bahamians come to own shares in Bank of Bahamas? Did not ordinary Bahamians come to own shares in Arawak Port Development? The Prime Minister mentioned Arawak Port Development, but before Arawak Port Development, the people were bringing the stuff through the port there on Bay Street, and the thing was entirely owned by one small group of people. Now, ordinary Bahamians have been structured by the deal that was struck when the port was granted, such that ordinary people had the ability to buy into the port. Bank of Bahamas, same thing. So how do you not have clear? You have to have, listen, you have to have not been looking for evidence to have not seen that evidence. It is very clear. The Bahamas share ownership holdings by ordinary Bahamians is substantially greater today than ever it was in the history of our country. Substantially. And if you want to refute that, please bring me the evidence and I will happily come on the show and say, I was wrong. I was wrong. More ordinary Bahamians do not own shares. And by the way, look at the licensing arrangement holdings in the Bahamas state. More Bahamians and ordinary Bahamians own business licenses in this country today than by 2002 than they had done prior to that time. In fact, in Grand Bahama, where 8 of the port licensees were foreigners by 2002, it was 80% were Bahamians or thereabouts. the evidence is there. If we look for it, if we are interested in having Bahamians truly understand what has taken place in the economy, and the evidence is there, and the evidence will not say, oh, only Ingram did something. It will talk about what Sir Lyndon did. It will talk about what Ingram did. It will talk about what Christie did. It will talk about what Minnis did. It will talk about what Davis did. But you cannot reshape history or recast history in ways that distort the reality of what in fact happened without being injurious in your analysis. And remember, there are other people who are watching, listening, reading, studying, understanding. Right? And those who write have a special duty to ensure that the things that they are presenting to him, because he's prime minister, he's going to be busy, he's not going to be looking at everything all the time, but, you know, he got to own it at the end of the day, though. Right? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust. Explore the RF Secured Balance Fund, designed for long-term financial security. This diversified fund offers both growth potential and a steady income source. Plan for the long term with a recommended minimum investment of 5 years. With over 2 decades of experience, RF Bank and Trust is your expert in preserving, connecting you with the best local and international investment opportunities. Don't miss the chance to secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust.
Make your mornings easy with the new breakfast bowls at Burger King Nassau. These delicious bowls are a complete breakfast in a convenient package for those on the run who want to enjoy the most important meal of the day, the BK way. Each breakfast bowl has all the breakfast fixings you love and comes in 3 tasty versions to choose from, including the classic, the Southwestern style, and the keto-friendly bowl. BK just made breakfast easier with the new breakfast bowls at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab. You could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you wish to give us a call, please feel free to do so on any of the following numbers: 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 4224796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Talking about the Prime Minister's speech to Lyford Key, a speech in which the Prime Minister indicated many things. This is a speech where, when the Guardian asked the office of the Prime Minister for the speech, were told, and I quote, "This was a private meeting and speech will not be released," end quote. This was a private meeting. As defined by whom? What did that mean? Right? I was indicating to you what the circumstances of the country's household income distribution was in 1999 compared to all other years in which that was recorded, and it was the most equal in 1999, which was an Ingram era, the same era that this speech of the Prime Minister tried to cast as, listen, this is the speech. This is what the speech said. While the language of the time was about the virtues of capitalism and so on, in fact, listen to it. Public money was used to generously subsidize many of these projects and create protections against competition and other market forces. I would challenge, literally on this show, challenge who wrote that to show evidence of that. That public money was used to subsidize these projects? Really? Like what? Which projects? What projects? In fact, what does this mean? The virtues of capitalism. In fact, public money was used generously to subsidize many of these projects. What projects? Which projects? Are you meaning in that national insurance invested in Fable Bahamas? Does national insurance not have a responsibility to earn income so that it can maintain a sustainable fund? And does it not get dividends and share in the capital gains of those investments that it makes? Really? Does national insurance not invest in government projects? Right? So what does that mean? What project? Right? And says, and create protections against competition? Like what? What protections against what competition? During the Ingram era, you privatized Bahamas, Batelco, and then open the market so that Alive comes in. That's competition. Where's the other one? What else was privatized, and then protections against competition were put in forth? Where's the evidence of this? Where's this coming from? I'm asking you, Bahamians. You watch your society. Where did you see the government fund something and then turn around and then prevent competition from coming in against it? Or you mean the Arawak Port development, which was owned for decades? Well, the Panama Bay was owned for decades by one small group of people, and the government of the Bahamas did absolutely nothing either to improve the circumstance that prevailed there on Bay Street or bring in any competition to that. But then when, in fact, the thing was modified and put there on Arawaki and a period of exclusivity granted, it was opened up to ownership by Bahamians in the broad. I have Bahamians texting me right now. Who own? In Arawak Port development. I know ordinary people who own Arawak Port. I know these people. I know some of these people. They were middle managers at some of these food stores and so forth. Own at Arawak Port development. But protections against competition and other market forces? Well, what other market forces are there? I didn't understand. I couldn't. I mean, it was an effort to cast that Ingram administration in such a light that I just cannot understand how such a thing could be done when it can be so easily refuted. So then the prime minister goes on to say in that speech, so now he's talking about the Christie era. Of course, he's deputy prime minister in that era. So this has to be a better era, right? It has to be a more favorable era. So he says, big, bold initiatives like anchor projects, the Bahamas Agriculture and Marine Science Institute, urban renewal and national health insurance sought to extend the agenda of the Quiet Revolution. First of all, project was developed in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas since 2002. Which anchor project? In Grand Bahama? What was the anchor project? What was the anchor project in Abaco? What was the anchor project in Exuma? Oh, you mean Santos? No, that went beyond Ingram. What was the anchor project in Long Island? Cat Island, Crooked Island, Andros, Mayaguana, Inagua. Where's the Anchor Project? Oh, what's that called now? The group there, that Mayaguana group there. When Ingram came in, he had to revisit the land deal because the previous administration had swamp land with the people for high-value land that was going to lock out the community from access to that high-value land. That's the Anchor Project. What was the Anchor Project? Bamsey. What do you remember most about Bamsey? I'm not saying Bamsey hasn't done something. But what is it do you remember most about Bamsey? The burnt down building without insurance. National health insurance. Yes, brought into force at the preliminary stages, but ran through several administrations. So characterized as national development, this Anchor Project business and all that, when Atlantis, which transformed the touristic landscape of the Bahamas, in particular New Providence, and then came into force. Alukaya, the Katrina Port, and all these kinds of stuff came in, and they don't count. Right? Urban renewal, with the greatest respect, is a wonderful concept, as in, we know what urban renewal can do in a place. Like if you go to Miami, you know what urban renewal looks like. But the truth of the matter is, the way we treated urban renewal from its inception, it was like a little project. Never lived up to its true meaning at all. But it was kept going by successive administrations because they do have an awful value. But let's not pretend this is in the scope of national development. We have a draft national development plan. If we were serious about national development, we'd look at that and embrace it. But this is not national development in its broader scope. The Prime Minister also indicated in this speech that in Ingram's era, there was no real transformation of the economic model. The economic model that exists in the Bahamas today came into force before Sir Lyndon became premier and then prime minister. It was a model based on tourism, financial services, and then every other little thing. How has that changed during the Pinling era? It was made perhaps even more productive during the Ingram era, but it wasn't changed. And it wasn't changed during the Christie era. And it wasn't changed during the Minnis era. And there is no sign at all that it will be changed now. No sign. So what is the argument? In fact, how many economies around the world, particularly the more wealthy ones, do you see the model changing? How many? In fact, some of the economies are trying to go to where the Bahamas is in boosting tourism as a source of income. I just don't understand it. Honestly, I don't understand it. We can do better in giving an account for our economic progress or regress than an effort that seems to ignore fundamental truths, facts, realities about our economy. You know, I've told you all before, I will never get up. You will never hear me get up and say, Sir Lyndon did nothing. Or cast Sir Lyndon's era in such a way as to deny the facts of it. I would never do that. Because it's unnecessary. You as a Bahamian public are owed objectivity as much as possible. You are owed facts as much as possible. you are owed accurate information as much as possible to guide you in your thinking about the place in which you live. Spin masters exist every single way and every single day, but they do not help advance the discussion very well. It is to set you free, not a spin, not a lie, not misinformation, not misunderstanding, but misanalysis. You're listening to Sea Live. I'm Shabaga Lang, your host. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello.
Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day, Minister. Happy New Year.
Hello.
Good day, Minister. Happy New Year. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Hi. How you doing?
Everything cool, Poppy. Happy New Year.
Same to you, man.
Okay. I appreciate what you're doing, and sorry for interrupting. I know I should have waited till the 3 o'clock till the news finished, right?
No, but you got time. Go right ahead, man.
Okay. I appreciate you reading this, what they were talking about from the end of the last year, and you put the time for us to understand what was said. My question is, and I guess that some other persons too have that question, what was the reason when the reporters or the news station asked for this statement and the prime minister saying it was private? Why ask that? Because, I mean, we could think conspiracies and we could think all kind of stuff. My view is that I was wondering, like, because from the actions, it's 2 years, my new day government being in power, is like, I wonder if the speech writers, I hear you saying the speech writers and them, it's them who write it, but the prime minister have to take it, man. This is speech, so I wonder if the actions with this same situation is the same thing what was going on for the last 2 years, where they believed, my new day government believed, like, they could say anything, do anything, and they don't expect for us to question them. And for them not to give the report to the reporters, and this has to be leaked, and thank God it leaked for us to understand what was said and what went on. It should be no reason for them not wanting us to hear what was said. Just like with the media, it seems like they try to bio the media. Some people say, and, you know, that's some of our view, but, you know, this should have been something. What didn't have to get leaked, and thank God it out. And I appreciate what you're doing. My question to you, really, right? And that's the question, really, with the press wouldn't have wanted to know this. And I feel like a lot of things, how you pointing out and breaking it down, I don't want to say it's foolishness, but, you know, it ain't correct 100%. And it's trying to, like, separate governance of the Bahamas. And governance of the Bahamas, although it's a different political party, is still the government of the Bahamas. And all have done good and did a lot for the Bahamas. You gotta include all the goodness with Mr. Ingram. So my opinion is, I think Mr. Hubert Ingram is one of the best prime ministers that we ever had in this country. And the PLP, if I was the speechwriter or Mr. Prime Minister saying that, like, how Mr. Ingram is scorched with things and correct it, I would include all the good, what is being done, who all benefit, and you all behind the gates or whosoever, and talk about how we can move this country forward, rather than trying to make one side look bad, or I's the best prime minister, or something like that. To you, Mr. Lang, if it's possible, right? A lot of people in Odessa say, yes, sir? Yes, sir?
Yeah.
Mr. Lang?
Hey, Papa, you were breaking in and out,
For instance, to be asking, they say one of the worst things, for correct us or correct them, they say one of the worst things, Mr. Ingram, then they said this in the speech, like with the Patelco selling and the BTC, say all kind of money was on the account and it was a giveaway. They shouldn't do it the way how they did it and stuff. That they talk about the Removal Property Act. What about that, Minister Lang? Did that hurt the Bahamas? Did that hurt us? Or what was the reason for Mr. Ingram to win something like that? I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate talking to you, but you could correct us and let us know what we don't know. Thank you.
Thank you, Papa. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. So, first of all, let me say, Papa makes a great point in when he talked about, like, you know, there's one government of the Bahamas, and while there's different administrations, there's one government of the Bahamas. About this speech, if you listen, the prime minister said at the beginning of the speech, he said that, listen to what he said. He said, I will resume. fact that your presence here demonstrates your keen interest in and desire to participate in the positive national development. He says, so I want you to consider how best you can play a part in helping to make life and living better in our Bahamas. When you read this speech, you wonder, like, if you are trying to excite and invite people to go and to invest in and participate in your country, why was this the speech to do it? Think about that for a moment, right? You read this speech, you ask yourself, if you're sitting down in Life of Key, do you rush to go get your money and put it in the Bahamas? Read the speech and see. When you speech writing, your job is to first ask yourself the question, when I'm done, what do I want the audience that listen to me walk away doing, saying, or feeling? That's a good speech writer, right? And Papa's right, and I said it, Papa, before. It's Prime Minister's speech. I just was referring to speech writers because I know how these things go. It's Prime Minister's speech, 100%. I want to release the speech because he's shamed. What disappoints me most is the realization that the Prime Minister cloaked himself in all those pages of nonsense. He was either intellectually dishonest or worse, he was intellectually lazy. The fact that he would peddle that dishonest drivel to people in Lyford Key who know better explains why he is in the newspaper promising to fight inflation just as he continues to raise taxes. He thinks people are stupid. We can talk a little bit about some of that too. We have to be on task. I tell you something, I've said it before. None of us benefits with our government failing or our government not producing as much as it can produce. We all benefit when that happens. You go to Life of Key with all those people with their millions and millions of dollars and their great influence in the world, their ability to make things happen. Focus on, how do I motivate you? How do I encourage you? How do I inspire you to do and to give? We have a philosophy, you know, when you cross the border, you leave your local politics at home. You say, but the Prime Minister didn't cross the border. No, the border came to the Prime Minister. Right? Sometimes that's what happens too. You don't walk up to the tourist and say, you know, this is a stinking country, I live in it. You know that, you see that murder happen on the road. Anybody would do that? Now, if they observe it, you would say, yeah, we've been having some problems with that, but here's the deal. You don't try to mash yourself up. And to be honest with you, we suspect there was a little bit of defensiveness in this speech. You walk into Life of Key where they are capitalists, investors, free market-minded people who know the Ingram era and all that it has meant for the Bahamas and their ability to participate in it. And a little bit of defensiveness sets in and you want to try and dump the admiration so many have for Ingram and what he did in his era. I understand. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this news break.
Take a stand. Everybody. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Babe, you moshed the car?
I ain't moshed the car. The lady run into me moshed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Are you ready to catapult your business into the introducing Guardian Business Boots.
Ignite your success, and it's absolutely free to join.
Did you say free?
Yes, free. Guardian Business Boots is not just a program. It's your ticket to unprecedented visibility and growth. The Guardian Media Group is committed to helping the Bahamas prosper by creating new opportunities for small businesses who are the key drivers of that growth.
How does it work?
It works by first registering your business with the Guardian Business Boots at thenassauguardian.com. Then, each month, Guardian Media will pick and boost 5 businesses with 1 month of free ads across our multiple advertising platforms. The Nassau Guardian newspaper, website, Guardian Radio 96.9, Star 106 Hits, and all social media platforms. Catapult your business into the spotlight with Guardian Business Boost. Sign up for free today at thenassauguardian.com.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand,
We'll walk this road together.
The storm, whatever weather, cold or warm,
let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the family islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. So, Popper asked about the Immovable Properties Act, which the Prime Minister in his speech alluded to, and the privatization of BTC. The Prime Minister said in his speech that a quick glance at some of the biggest initiatives of that time reflect an ideological shift which removed certain economic protections for Bahamians that had been implemented during the pending years. And then he says the repeal of the Immovable Properties Act, the privatization of BTC, the monopolization of the port of entry, Arawak Port, and the extensive road workers initiatives all allowed private interests to profit magnificently from government institutions. Man, seriously? First of all, let me ask all of you who always talk about this Immovable Properties Act and what it did. Ask yourself the question. The Immovable Properties Act was removed in 1993 and replaced with the International Persons Land Holding Act. In 1993, it is now 2023. Ask yourself, Christie was in office for 2 terms with Deputy Prime Minister Brave Davis as Deputy Prime Minister in one of those periods, right? Ask yourself the question. Prime Minister Davis is now in office. Why has the International Persons Landholding Act not been repealed and replaced by the Immovable Properties Act that provided, in quote, protections for Bahamians? Ask yourself that question. Go right ahead. Ask yourself the question. Why has the government of the Bahamas, why has no Christie administration, no Davis administration, being in office, reversed the privatization of BTC? Because you could do it. You could buy it back. Ask yourself why. Why not? Port was monopolized, says the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister said to Grand Bahama Port Authority, the Grand Bahama Port Authority, we are going to do something about your situation. Well, the Grand Bahama Port Authority is protected by a contractual obligation, just like called the Hawkesbury Creek Agreement, just like the port is protected by a contractual agreement. Why not do something with the port since you think it's a monopolization that you won't do with the Grand Bahama, to hint at with the Grand Bahama Port Authority? Why not? Ask yourself that question. Ask yourself this question. There are roadworks being done now. There's $100 million worth of roadworks going to be done soon. Well, who's going to do those roadworks? Is the government going to do it? Or is the private sector going to do it? And will they not magnificently profit from that? Apparently so. Well, who's going to do the works? Oh, you mean if my set of people do the work, or is that different? Who's going to do the work differently? I'm not even getting to the substance of the thing yet. I'm asking you a very simple question. Why is the International Persons Landholding Act still on the books of the Bahamas and the Immovable Properties Act not returned? Why is BTC still partially privatized? Because it isn't fully privatized. Half of it is still owned by the government of the Bahamas. In fact, according to the government of the Bahamas, an initiative taken by them put 2 percentage points back in the fray so that they own the majority of it in some kind of fashion. Why isn't the government taking it back? Why is the port monopolization not being tacked and efforts being made to undo in the way that is suggested by about the Grand Bahama Port Authority? Why is that not happening? And who is going to do our roads? If it's not the private sector, if it's not private interest, who's going to do the roads? Who did the roads under Christie? Was it the private sector? Was it the government or the private interest? What private interest did it? What private interest? Private interest does all kinds of things for the government of the Bahamas. What is this argument? How does this argument speak to any reality, any substance about the way we do things in this country? Now, let me say to you, on the Immovable Properties Act, I tell you why it hasn't been brought back. I will almost bet you. But some of the people who talk about the Immovable Property Act never read it, and never read the International Persons Land Holding Act, and never compared the two. Because if they did, they would know this to be true. The only difference between the Immovable Properties Act and the International Persons Land Holding Act was this. Under the Immovable Properties Act, a non-Bahamian seeking to buy any amount of land in the Bahamas, you could be trying to buy 1/4 acre, you could be trying to buy 1/2 acre. It's to buy that land, whether you were doing it for a house or for commercial purposes, you had to apply to the investment board to do so. That was the requirement. Who's the investment board? A subcommittee of cabinet. So all of those applications to wait on some group of cabinet ministers to be able to approve them before the investment could be made. That this is, think about it, this is a Bahamian, a foreigner owning a piece of property, wanting to sell the same property to another foreigner, but had to go to and wait for the investment board to do so, so that the foreigner who was buying it could build a home. A Bahamian wanting to sell their property to a foreigner, it needed to go to the investment board. It created a huge backlog. It was a nightmare for realtors, a nightmare for sellers. So people's property not only became immovable, they almost became unsaleable. So what Ingram's philosophy was, not based on his own imaginations, he listened to the industry. He listened to the realtors. He listened to the lawyers. And he said, listen, if you are a foreigner and you want to buy a piece of property that is 5 acres or less for residential purpose, to build another home for yourself. And you had to submit your thoughts and plans for what you were going to do. You just needed to make that purchase and register the purchase with the investment board, not wait for approval to do so. Therefore, the second home market developed in Exuma and Nabucco and so forth and so forth. So who got benefits of that? Construction workers, people who were selling their properties, realtors got it, lawyers got it, and so forth and so forth. And then when the people came and lived in their second homes, all the ancillary benefits came from that. The same International Persons Landholding Act still said, if you wanted to purchase a property of any size for commercial purposes, you had to apply to the investment board for approval, just like under the Immovable Properties Act. Same thing. That was the difference. And one sparked a second home industry, encouraged it, while another suffocated it. And that's why it hasn't been changed to this day. In fact, one minister of financial services and investments under the Christie administration made a public speech and boasted how many pieces of land had been sold under what? The International Persons Landholding Act. When you look at the properties that the Haymans own properties in South Beach and out west, out east, all over Nassau, all over the Bahamas. Well, when did the Immovable Properties Act stop you? The International Persons Landholding Act stopped that from happening. Our foreigners buying property in Chippenham, Stapleton, South Beach, and out east there? They're not. Foreigners are buying property the same place they were buying property all along, for the most part, in New Providence, along the coast. And they're buying it from the same people who owned it before Ingram came to office. Foreigners. Not even from the government. We listen, man. I get it sometimes. But I think what I get is not helping us. You could disagree on the privatization of BTC. I have no difficulty with that. You could disagree with that. But BTC was partially privatized. Why? Not simply to privatize BTC. BTC's privatization was a part of a broader objective. That broader objective was the liberalization of the telecommunications sector of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, a sector that was monopolized by Patelco, in which Bahamians were complaining every day about how difficult it was to get equipment, how difficult it was to get service, how difficult it was to get good cellular service. We just forget this. We forget this. Because, BTC was making all kinds of money. Oh, which monopoly other than BPL right now cannot make money as a monopoly? You're a monopoly. You're the only game in town. You can't make sense. Something is definitely wrong. But what kind of service are you getting? Nowadays, people are trying to convince me to move from BTC to Alive. But why are you trying to convince me to move from BTC to Alive? Because you think the service is better? Oh, no, because you have a competitive service that you think it's better for you. That's the nature of liberalization of a sector. That's why we did it. To liberalize the thing. And those who don't believe in liberalization of a sector, privatization of a government-owned entity, why do you still have the entity privatized? Why not buy back Bank of Bahamas? Buy back BTC. Why are you trying to sell Alukaya? Buy it back. It used to be government owned before Ingram, that whole area. Buy it back. Buy Sandals back. Buy Breezes back. If you don't believe in privatization, buy them back. But you won't see that. Because those who say those things know better. But they don't want to say better all the time because it doesn't fit a good political narrative. This text is Mr. Lang. The reference to the Immovable Properties Act helps me to answer the questions of previous text to ask. PM is, I don't want to say that. When Christie was leader of opposition, he campaigned hard to repeal the International Persons Non-Holding Act. He never did. And Davis knows he never will, but he will keep being intellectually dishonest about it. Wasn't it the Christie government after Ingram that got a private company to do additional roadworks after Jose Cataloni? Of course. Of course. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Listening to you. Hello? Okay, we lost the caller. I mean, see, the truth of the matter is, right? Yeah. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Listening to you.
Yeah, hello?
Hello? Hello? Okay, hello, I don't know what's going on. Mr. Good day, Shivago. Great show as usual. Can you kindly check your microphone level?
No, please? He won't take your call.
Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, caller.
Yeah, hello.
I'm not sure what's going on. It's lower than hello? The station commercial. Thanks.
You won't take your call.
Yes, the caller you're coming in, maybe it's me. Maybe the y'all can.
Yeah, I want to. Man, you're talking long, you know, so I try to get through.
And man, I'm not doing that today, man. I'm not doing that today. No, sir, no, sir.
But yeah, but you dominate the show. You're taking long to take call
I'm not doing that today. Not today. Thank you very much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust. Explore the RF Secured Balance Fund, designed for long-term financial security. This diversified fund offers both growth potential and a steady income source. Plan for the long term with a recommended minimum investment of 5 years. With over 2 decades of experience, RF Bank and Trust is your expert in preserving and growing wealth. We're your local private bank. That's local and international investment opportunities. Don't miss the chance to secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Can I remind you that Nassau Cruise Port, Phil Stubbs concert coming up. Nassau Cruise Port at Zaymar Production presents Phil Stubbs live this January 13th, also performing Nisha LS and Ira Storr and the Spank Band. Tickets, $50 general admission, $75 a VIP, available at the BahamasTicket.com, at the Plantation Bar and Grill, Caves Heights, and Miniso Mall at Marathon. Okay. Doors open at 7 p.m. Showtime, 9 p.m. All right. So I love me some Phil Stubbs coming up January 13th. This text says the cruise port deal is at least one thing Minnis got right. Yep. Well, I mean, that's certainly something that can be pointed to. There are a number of things. I think the Minnis administration was headed in the right direction in terms of crime. Prior to the pandemic even, I think that in terms of its effort to fund small businesses, medium-sized businesses, its efforts to to fund education at the University of the Bahamas significantly boosted that. I think so there were definitely strides being made. And this is my point. I could disagree with you. I could not agree with everything you did, but I do not have to write a script that tries to, you know, poop on everything you did. That's just, I don't think that's fair for any administration in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, because it certainly would not be accurate or true of any administration in the Bahamas. Don't call the show and say, I'm talking now. I'm a talk show host. We are all talk show hosts. What are we supposed to do? Sit around and just have an open blank mic while nobody's calling? Just because you're on the phone does not mean that we know. So stop calling and running on with nonsense instead of simply talking about what it is you would like to say. We'd love to hear from you, right? Some of you. I mean, I just don't get it. Anyways, so the Immovable Properties Act, that narrative is really, I mean, really, honestly, that's an uninformed narrative, right? An uninformed. I will take the BTC critique, because people who have views that government should hold these assets, and I understand that that's their view. I also understand what the aim and objective was we attempted to pursue, and I believe it was achieved through the privatization of BTC and the liberalization of the telecommunications sector of the Bahamas. I really don't. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, Shivago, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Great. Can't complain. Shivago, listen, I finally, after listening to you today, I think I finally understand where my point of contention is with your position in regards to the liberalization. And I think it's not so much a point of contention, but something that I like to look at or was looking at. And I'll give you an example. I query I'm super concerned with the Washington Bahamas and the IMF and structural readjustment. And what that really means, you know, in this move towards laissez-faire capitalism. Now, the thing with privatization, and something that I look at, is that in a lot of cases, a lot of the money is leaving the Bahamas immediately. Now, I call something like BTC the jewel of the Bahamas, for example, telecommunications. What I would have loved to see is a group of Bahamians, first-generation Bahamians, owning those type of properties, those type of entities within the country, with the notion that Bahamians have the best interests of Bahamians at heart. Now, I give you an example of this, sir, with the MBA. Or in America at large, there are certain things that you can't buy that they won't let you buy as a person that isn't from that state. So that's where I think I agree with the liberalization, but I strongly think that we need to look at, are we letting our jewels go? And if someone else is owning our jewels, do they love our soul, the Bahamas, like we love it? And should any country or any countryman want to and hold on to our jewels, that we may pass it on to Bahamians who love this country and love this land?
So let's say your position is fully, fully rational, okay? It's a position a person could very well take, right? And I accept that is a position that you take. But where you and I may differ is you think that, well, we sold a foreigner because it was a foreigner. That wasn't true. We were seeking a strategic partner because we could be wrong, dead wrong. But in our heads, we considered that BTC and in a liberalized economy would face rigorous pressures and competition and would need a partner with deep enough pockets, significant enough technological and other advantages to help it compete. That was the notion. It wasn't. When we put it out there, we thought it would be a foreigner, but we did not take applications from Bahamians as well. But in the end, the consideration was this group would be the best group. Mind you, it wasn't our first choice. Our first choice didn't come in. But it was, in the end, a strategic partner that was the aim, not a foreigner.
Saying that that wasn't the intention, because competition will create that type of demand for the product. What I'm saying is that demonstrate to me where we had any leverage that the people competing were going to actually give us that technology. And I know that's something you can't gauge, but you want to make.
We have it today. We have it today. We are there. They are in BTC today. So they are there. So I don't have to theorize about that. They are there today. Whatever Cable and Wireless has in its technological portfolio is available to BTC. And right here in my home area, they got the fiber optic lines available and so forth and so forth. Where was it available before? All right. So, but I understand your argument, but I only say appreciate that we could explain our rationale for pursuing in the way we pursue, and that others have disagreed with us. I fully accept that that is possible. And I do not malicely object to that disagreement that some people might have, because they that's a point of view. Feminization is many times a philosophical or ideological conviction. And that's why I can't understand how, like, in one breath, you could say nothing fundamentally changed about a model, and then in the same breath, talk about an ideological shift. What's an ideological shift? I mean, can you get a bigger shift than ideological? Really? It means that one person believes in the total control of certain assets by the government, and other people believe differently. And you could argue some of those people who say that they believe in the control of certain assets by the government don't believe in it, because when they have the opportunity to put those assets in the control of government, they do not. They do not. Right? It's Texas. Happy New Year. Don't be upset with the last caller. It was the fault of your station phone line. We could hear him, but you could not. When you said hello, he started to talk, but you did not hear him, so you started to read the text. This is not, too late. You ought to say this is not for radio, too late. But I wasn't upset with the texter. I just was saying, but he came on and said you was talking long, right? I'm not upset with him. Just telling you what the deal is, okay? So I take that there wasn't a great deal of pride in this speech. I take that this speech did not have the effect that might have been imagined. I take on that it did not inspire people in that side to get up and come invest in the Bahamas. And that's unfortunate, because those are people of means, and they therefore could have significant input, contribution, continue to make, or increasingly make in the Bahamas. Right? Prime Minister went on to talk about the long-term priorities of the government in this speech. And I would have thought if you're trying to encourage these people, you would not take 30 pages of this speech doing, I think, a less than adequate analysis and accounting of the economic history and development of the country. Maybe take, if you want, 2, 3, 4 pages, and then spend the rest of the bulk of the pages doing what was attempted in only the last 4 pages, which was lay out your vision, your priorities, and so forth. Because even there, there wasn't much fulsome discussion there, right? And so maybe that's why this one was in a let's quickly release it. Right? So maybe there'll be another opportunity and we can come at it and do it better. We'll see. So on the Guardian's front page today, the Prime Minister, remember we talked about the Freedom of Information Act yesterday. Incidentally, the Freedom of Information Commissioner indicated that he's waiting for some technology and some regulations. I wondered what technology that was he was waiting for. I really don't know. But in the absence of that technology, is there the suggestion that we could not, in fact, have the Freedom of Information debated, implemented fully? Suppose we didn't have all these computer systems and stuff we had today. Would it be possible for people under the information Freedom of Information Act to request information of the government? Mind you, it might take longer, but couldn't it be done without technology? Really? You can't write a letter like you type on a computer and email. You can't write a letter to an information manager at a ministry and say, I would like this particular record from the government of the Bahamas. Really? You know, I thought about this one day because something happened in my house. And my son was, what do we do? I said, well, bro, you know this thing was created just in the last 50 years, right? What do you mean, what do you do? You know what the people did before the thing was created? Like, we could do stuff if we don't allow ourselves to be crippled by the conveniences we have always had. Look, let me tell you what happened today. Let me leave that. I'm going to leave that alone because I don't want nobody mess with me. I believe that. So anyways, so we talked about the Freedom of Information Act. So the Prime Minister was asked about the Freedom of Information Act. He was asked when would they be dealing with the Freedom of Information Act. And the Prime Minister said that he was focused on fighting inflation and the cost of living in the Bahamas. And that, you know, things require resources and that you have to decide where to apply resources. And I agree with that. But so I'm thinking, first of all, if the government's priority is fighting inflation and the cost of living, now you all know I said this before, the government is going to be fighting a losing battle. Why? The inflation that is being driven in the Bahamas is being driven from abroad, and it's already decreasing. So it's already decreasing, right? So it's not the crisis it was before, where it was 8% and 9%. It's now like 4%. So it's decreasing. It's not. The cost of living rising is not at the same pace as it was. But why would fighting inflation make it difficult to provide the regulations that the commissioner requires? And the technology, if I were the Prime Minister, I'd tell the commissioner, okay, so we ain't got the technology. Just people write stuff in, request it. I tell them, send a letter. That still works, doesn't it? Until you get the technology, write the letter. By the way, I'm going to do the regulations. What's the regulations require? Drafting. The law has already been passed. Right? Submission to the parliament. The Prime Minister is in control of all of what? How? other than time and attention, I don't take from fighting inflation. Besides, how are we fighting inflation? How are we fighting inflation? Remember, I want you to remember this. The government of the Bahamas told the food stores and the pharmacies that they were bread basket, basket itemizing some of their stuff. And that therefore, that means it was price control on that stuff. Not one single thing changed in any of those prices and stores in respect of that requirement by the government. Not one thing. They ain't do nothing. They met with the government. They had discussions with the government. The government was supposed to get back to them. And not a single lick happened. The people just ignored the government. Are you all hearing me? Just ignored the government of the Bahamas and said, no, we're not doing that. That's not reasonable. So that was one fight effort. Can you imagine that? The government passed a law requiring you to do something and nothing was done. This was a fight. This was the fight for us to live in rise and inflation, you know. Nothing happened. Can I also tell you something? Do you know that inflation is benefiting the tax revenue of the government of the Bahamas? Yeah. If you were paying VAT on an item that costs a dollar, the government got 10 cents. If that item now costs $3, the government gets 30 cents. That's three times the revenue. So inflation is actually benefiting the government. So if the government wanted to counter inflation, the government might relax taxation. It might, the whole thing, but it might say, you know what, I'm not going to take a dollar off a gallon of gas. I'm going to take 90 cents. You know what? Before I came to office, I said that the increase in VAT to 12% was too much. When I came, I'd reduce it to 10%. But then I put it on the bread basket items. You know what? The cost of living is hitting hard ordinary folks. Let me move it off of the bread basket items. Yeah, some of the restaurants and them will benefit from it, but poor people is buying from them restaurants. My tourist product might be more affordable if I do that. That might bring some relief to folk. See, in the ways that it is conceivably possible to bring, the government is not acting. The direct ways. And then when it took direct steps through the private sector, people just ignored it. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust. Explore the RF Secured Balance Fund, designed for long-term financial security. This diversified fund offers both growth potential and a steady income source. Plan for the long term with a recommended minimum investment of 5 years. With over two decades of experience, RF Bank and Trust is your expert in preserving and growing wealth. We're your local private bank, connecting investment opportunities. Don't miss the chance to secure your financial future with RF Bank and Trust.
Struggling to repay your loan? Let us help you get back on track with payment terms that suits your financial situation and improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Inquire about our restructured loans today. Call us at 356-7764.
Fidelity,
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I mash the car. The lady run into me, mash the car. If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. I'll love if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies. I'm Shivago Line, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM for these remaining moments of the show. Nassau Cruise Port and Zaymar Productions present Phil Stubbs live this January 13th. Also performing Nisha LS and Ira Store and the Spank Band. Tickets, $50 general admission, $75 VIP. Available at bahamastickets.com. At the Plantation Bar and Grill, Caves Heights, and Miniso Mall at Marathon. Doors open at 7 p.m. Showtime, 9 p.m. That's Nassau Cruise Port presenting Phil Stubbs live in concert. All right, this text says the PM saying that they can't multitask. This text says the PM must not have had time to read and digest this speech. Commissioner, he needs the info from AG and OPM, but everything else is ready to go, a likely excuse. The PM needs to walk, chew gum, and blow bubble man. What does he mean that is not his priority? Reducing inflation, really? I honestly tell you that the biggest way to address cost of living issues is do it yourself, Bahamians. You hear me? Trust me on that. The government of the Bahamas does not have at the moment the instrumentality. So it does not have the ability within its fiscal capacity to really bring you that broad relief. To do so would be devastating to its own fiscal circumstances, right? And it still would be uncontrollable because of the nature of what's driving this cost of living increase. You, more than anybody else, have the ability to impact upon your circumstance by your choices, the purchasing choices, the quantity, the quality, and the way you use the product you buy. More than anything else, you could have a big impact, much bigger impact than any government could have. You have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, Mr. Lang.
Hi, yes, sir.
Interesting topic today in relation to the Immovable Properties Act and the International Properties Act, right?
Yes.
International business company registered in the Bahamas, but for them to be able to purchase land for residential without approval?
No, I don't know that a company can do that. Well, I don't know that a company can do that because I don't think a company can do that. No, I think that's a person.
Okay, Mr. Lang. Now, remember, I had spoken to you in September, right?
Bro, you and I can't have this discussion. This, you have a personal matter, No, I cannot solve it. I'm not going to waste time with that. Producer, I'm not going to waste time with this. Trust me when I tell you, this is a waste of our time. It is a waste of our time. Okay? Thank you. So you have more capacity to impact the cost of living than any government could have. Trust me when I tell you that. See, more than anything else, and I've said this to you before, more than anything else, our cost is being impacted by the rigidity of our preferences and appetite. We are Bahamians, man. We love certain things. We love to eat what we eat. We love to cook the way we cook. We love to have the stuff we have. But we don't need to actually have the stuff we get. And we don't need to have it in the quantities. We don't need to consume it in the quantities that we do. So the price goes up on this. Stop buying that or buy less of it. That won't kill you. As a matter of fact, it might help you. Less meat here, more better vegetables here. It might be a help. Most of these items that are in the middle of the store are sugary, sugar-induced, ultra-processed foods. You said, Chicago, how do I know it's ultra-processed? If you take something and you leave it out in nature and come back to it 3 weeks later and it ain't rotten, that thing is ultra-processed. It ain't rotten? You mean bacteria can't do nothing with that Gap'n Crunch other than make it soft? It don't break it down? If the bacteria can't break it down in nature, what you think your body's treating it as? Foreign matter. There's a suggestion that some of these ultra-processed food, whether or not they actually constitute food. Right? So they go up on the stuff. You say, well, I'm not going to buy as much of it, or I'm not going to buy it. What tax cut from the government you need for that? What edict to pharmacies? Well, some pharmacy stuff, you got that requires some other interventions, and not government interventions, some private initiative interventions. Don't tell me it can't happen. The man who owns the Dallas Cowboys, Mavericks, what's his name again now? Mark Cuban. I think he had a friend or some friend's relative or some relative, somebody who needed some medication. When they saw the price of that medication in the thousands of dollars a month for that person, he says, no, something had to be and can be done about this. And they put a company together that scoured the world and was able to find that same medication for that person or the same, even if it's not the brand, at a pricing that was substantially different. So maybe that needs some private sector initiative. Government ain't fixing that. See, the government tried to fix it with a lawful edict. And people are telling them, no, sorry, Bob. But you know, maybe in terms of the medicine, there's the generic versus the brand. And let me tell you something. Me, I ain't ready to no brand. If the medication works, if the doctor gives me a medication, says this is supposed to lower your blood pressure, I measure my blood pressure before the medication, and I take this generic medication and my blood pressure is being lowered, I'm good. And the cheaper, I'm good with that too. So we have to make some choices that help us to do what I promise you. It is not possible. And I don't mean that the Davis administration can't do. I mean, the Christie administration couldn't do, the Minnesota administration couldn't do, the Ingram administration couldn't do, the Bennett administration couldn't do, because there are some things just beyond the control of the government, just beyond. And even if the government can help, it can help only on margins, but you can help substantially more. Can the government do a better job of buying less oxtail than you? Oxtail comes. Can the government do a better job of buying 2.5 pounds than you? Or no pounds? They going up on Cap'n Crunch, $9 and something cents. Can the government do a better job in telling your children, I am not buying no Cap'n Crunch? You don't need the government to pass a law to say Cap'n Crunch is no longer therefore being bought or price controlled. Don't buy it. That's the best price control on planet Earth. And you can do that for yourself, and I could do that for myself. And that would be more effective in any day. Look here, man, let me tell you something here. Your government can be helpful to you. That is true. And it ought to be helpful to you. But learn to exercise all the immense power in your control by the information you can gather to take charge of your own life so that when you produce the results for yourself, you get some enormous pride and empowerment in yourself for it. And then distance between you and the government that says, listen, man, do your work for me, or, because understand, there's a way in which I need you, but there are many ways in which I don't. And that is true citizen power, right? You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us today. I trust and hope that you do well. God bless you. He spares life. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Take care.
Afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. I'll love if you feel like you've been down the same road. And I just can't keep living this way. So starting today, I'm breaking out of this cage. I'm standing up, I'ma face my demon. I'm manning up, I'ma hold my ground.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.